BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey! It's the Hair Bear Bunch! That's my intro there.
It's good.
What do you think?
Very good. I don't remember the Hair Bear Bunch being... Well, I think they were a bit more friendlier, weren't they? That sounded as if they might kick my head in.
Hey!
But that's the Scare Bear Bunch.
We're the Hair Bear Bunch! I thought it'd be a fun 70s reference to a kids' TV show.
Kids love... Everyone loves 70s references. 70s kids love the 70s.
Yeah, they do, don't you?
Kids were alive then.
You know what? I think there's going to be a big 70s revival.
Do you?
Yeah.
Flares and hairs.
That kind of thing.
Did you see Charlie Brooker doing his programme that he does on Channel 4 all about the 90s?
No, I never.
That was a weird thing to see the 90s treated as a sort of ancient bit of history.
It was a long time ago, though.
It was now, wasn't it?
That was our decade, boy.
I know, exactly. That's why it was weird.
I bet we didn't get a mention, did we?
No, we didn't, but he was doing really bad things.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He was doing stupid
things. There'll be another programme on the really good things, and we'll be the most important part of it!
Top of the pile.
Now, listen, folks, the last time we were with you live, obviously we've had the Song Wars Classics podcast to keep things ticking over, but like a proper podcast was about 2 months ago, and the world has changed immeasurably since then.
Irrevocably.
For a start, and most obviously, we have lost the King of Pop.
Yes.
And they've yet to crown the new King of Pop, the new KOP. Who do you think it's going to be?
Me.
Joe Cornballs.
Joe Cornish, based on his Song Wars output.
It's the big announcement of this week's podcast, that the new King of Pop is to be Joseph Murray Cornballs.
That's me. I've got to have some hits.
Based
the pressure's on now. I've got to have the hits.
And, you know, what we have to be very careful with him, because once you're crowned King of Pop, your life changes. The attention tends to drive you wacky. And we've got to be very careful that no...
Handle with care.
...kind of homicidal
did
doses
you know,
are given to him.
Did you know... do you know that Prince had a big rivalry with Michael Jackson? Do you know about that?
No, I never did.
Michael Jackson and Prince, they were rivals. Did you know that, James, our producer? Did you know that the track Bad was actually written as a duet for Michael Jackson and Prince?
Mm-hmm.
And that video in that Martin Scorsese directed in the New York subway was supposed to be a dance-off between Michael Jackson and Prince.
Really?
Michael Jackson sent the song to Prince. Prince read the first line, "Your butt is mine," and said, "I'm not going to sing that." And told Michael Jackson the song was awful.
What?
And ever since then, they had a kind of a rivalry.
Yeah.
And that's why MJ was so keen on playing so many dates at the O2, because he wanted to beat Prince's record at the O2.
No.
Isn't that weird? I never knew that.
Threatened by prawns.
I learned that on a terrific documentary on Spanish television while I was in Spain.
Wow.
Called Monsieur Jackson et Dr. Prince. Well, I don't know why it was in French, but it was called Mr. Jackson and Dr. Prince. It was very weird, all about their rivalry.
Did you see the doco with Uri Geller?
I did, yeah.
That was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
That was amazing.
They had some extraordinary footage that Geller had shot, like the bit with them on the train with Uri Geller, Michael Jackson and David Blaine sat on a British train somewhere, like trundling along to a football
match
or
something.
Going
to that weird football match, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that was weird. Anyway, listen, folks, we've got an awful lot to get through, so let's get on with it, why don't we? I don't think we need to tease anything in this thing. It's going to unfold itself, right?
No, all we should say is it's great to be back, and thanks for downloading this podcast. We'll do some more waffling at the end of the highlights.
See you later, bye!
Hello, good day from the big British castle. Adam and Joe are back from their holidays. Hooray, they've been away drinking booze and lying in the sun. But now they're back with their ridiculous radio show, just so you know.
Hey, this is Adam.
Hey, this is Joe. We hope you've had a fantastic summer. We've been away for how many weeks?
125.
It's not enough.
8 weeks we were away, 2 months.
I want to be away more.
It doesn't seem like a very long time, does it?
It was quite nice, wasn't
it? It was pretty relaxing, wasn't it?
It was nice being able to sleep in on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, sleepy, sleepy.
I did a lot of Saturday things, went to festivals.
Did you?
Travelled around.
Did you? Hung out with the Saturdays.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But now we're back and things are going to be very different, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be totally
We have spent the last 8 weeks in meetings.
Rebranding.
Retooling the show.
Here's how much money we've spent on rebranding and retooling this show.
£2,400 million.
I mean, that seems like a lot, doesn't it?
But it's actually true. And that's BBC money. That's taxpayers' money.
Part of it's BBC money. Part of it was a slush fund.
Some of
Gordon
it was
Brown.
National Lottery.
That's right.
Very, very poor people desperate for some money, betting their final quid on the lottery every week, straight into our pockets.
A lot of
for
it
focus
was
groups.
Donations. Philip Schofield donated.
He did.
A lot.
He hosted a telethon on Latvian television.
Fern Britton donated £25.
She auctioned her gastric band.
we had a rebrand-a-thon. It was like a big concert.
So it's going to be disorient. If you're a regular listener, it's going to be disorientating. I mean, all the features, all the things you use to orientate yourself around this program, they're going to be totally new.
What's the new name for the show?
The new name for the show is Boggins.
Boggins. Now that's
I know, it's surprising, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
It's like, what? £2,400,000 and you come up with Boggins.
It doesn't seem like a lot for all that money and all that time.
I swear, man, the focus groups are crazy about
Boggins.
You're
going to get used to it, though.
Kids are going mad about... Have you heard Boggins? Boggins? What's Boggins? It's just a word that sticks,
yeah,
you know?
It's and sticky.
Yeah, it's a sticky word. And Boggins is going to take this show to new levels.
Yeah. Mm. We should say a very sincere thank you to Danny Wallace,
yes,
and Gromit, who've been covering us while we're away.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to those guys. They did a fantastic job, and we really appreciate their sterling work filling in while we were away.
And thank you to all the listeners who visited our blog on the Six Music website that's been very healthy and active over the summer.
You're listening to Boggins.
Just Talking. Just Talking.
That's an exciting new band. They're called the Pet Shop Boys.
Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Is it? I don't know.
That's
not very good.
That's Neil from the Pet Shop Boys. He's actually in the studio with us. Hi, Neil.
Would you like a sausage?
I've brought
don't
a plate of
biggies. Don't touch my sausage. I used to be able to do that. It's gone away, my ability to do a Neil Tennant impression.
It was nicked by Flight of the Conchords.
Damn them!
Damn them. They swooshed in and nabbed it. You know what they didn't nick, though? Is our ability to be David Bowie.
Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair.
I've seen some fairies there in the garden.
Listen.
Someone threw a lollipop, it stuck into my eye.
Listeners, we said earlier that we'd focus group the entire show, renamed it Boggins, and changed every single element of the show. Well, we sort of have done that. I mean, that's in no way a lie, any sort of a lie,
no.
Is it?
Well,
no.
That would be not safeguarding trust.
But a couple of things that came out from the focus groups were that there are some elements of the show that cannot be changed.
No.
That would be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And one of those is the nation's favourite feature.
That's true, isn't it?
If the nation's favourite feature was affected in any way, it might undermine the morale of the nation.
However, we have changed the nation's favourite feature's jingle. You won't actually be able to hear the change, but it has been reconstructed by musicians...
To sound better to pets.
To sound better to pets. It's got a hidden frequency that pets are going to dig.
So get your pets' ears around this.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Down boy. Easy boy. We bought the Adam and Joe dog, who's actually called Boggins. Come on. Easy Boggins. There we go, Boggins. He is the original dog from That's Life, still alive and kicking.
That is a good jingle.
He's just become more articulate.
That is a good jingle.
He can say more than sausages. If you listen very carefully, listeners, you might be able to hear him saying, that is a good jingle.
Sausages.
Oh, that was a sausage.
That is a good jingle.
There we go. You can just hear the words. I mean,
I'm gonna, is our car gonna
he's
go?
Obviously, not really saying that. It's a coincidence.
A small rat.
Dog's jaw couldn't possibly form words.
I'm gonna nibble on your leg. Is that okay?
That sounded a bit like I'm gonna nibble on your leg. Amazing.
I'm gonna do a poo in the corner. Is that okay?
Steady on, Boggins. So there we go. We can see there quite clearly the effect.
I done one.
That the new jingle has on... Oh, Boggins.
I'm going to lick your face. Is that okay?
I have to get a little plastic bag.
Lick it, lick it, lick it. I'm going to...
James, you got a plastic bag?
I'm going to lick your face. Is that okay? I'm going to bite the back of your legs. Is that okay? Not badly. No, just nibbling. I'm going to bite the back of your legs. Is that okay?
Listen, let's go to we got to go to the jingle now.
We get Boggins out of here.
We had the jingle.
We had
so
the
confused.
Jingle. That's what set him off.
Get Boggins out. Go on. There we go. Charlotte's taking
Boggins out. He's nipping the back of her legs. So
we might have to withdraw that jingle because the effect it has on animals is too powerful.
It's too potent. That's the first time we've tried it out, and it's incredible. So for the nation's favourite feature this week, listeners, we are talking about right? Holidays, right? We just come back from holiday. This is kind of a holiday-themed show in some ways. And specifically, I want to talk about ailments, holiday ailments, right? Because as soon as you go away, I mean, I find this happens to me a lot. You're in, you know, the routine is changed. You're in different surroundings and things can go wrong very easily with your body parts. Do you find that, Joe? Or are you always in tip-top health on holiday?
I'm usually in decent health on holiday. This is a particularly Buxtonic problem.
You reckon?
I reckon, I know it because I've known you since you were 13 and I've been on holiday with you regularly for about 15 years and almost every time you got ill or had a tantrum.
Well, that's not... What was the tantrum about?
You nearly punched me. There was only one, actually.
When was that? Was that on holiday?
Yeah, when we were in driving around the south of France. But anyway, let's stick to tantrums.
Oh, yeah, that's
another
true. That's well, no, I nearly punched you and Mark, though, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you weren't entertaining my idea.
But I think it's true to say that everyone usually has some sort of incident on holidays.
You've opened
something
up a wound.
Happens. I've opened up a can of old.
I can't believe you're being so unsupportive about where we should stay that night, you and Mark. Anyway, so yes, it's true that I used to get ill, and it still happens every now and again. One thing that happens to me a lot on holidays, I get ear problems, right? Mm. And this is something I think that happens to a lot of people, especially when they go swimming and they're not used to swimming and stuff. Someone I met the other day said,
yeah, before I go on holiday anywhere hot, if I'm going to be swimming, I get my ears syringed by the doctor.
And you've got to be pretty organized to arrange a special syringing trip before you go on holiday.
I would say that's a bad idea.
Why?
Because you take away the protective gunk from inside your ear and make it more sensitive to infection. After the syringing.
Really?
They can be quite raw and exposed.
Not if you get a proper medical syringing.
Point of view.
Who is... that's a lame man's point of view, certainly. But if you go to a doctor...
Good one.
You're reeling from that, aren't you? You should see Joe right now, listeners.
Luckily, I'm 40.
He's got his arms folded.
So that kind of thing doesn't have too much effect anymore. But if I was 14, I'd be in a pool of blood on the floor. Luckily, no, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Self-esteem utterly unaffected.
That's a lame...
That's not true.
That's a lame... man's point of view. That's typical of something a lame man would say. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yes. No, I think if you got a doctor to syringe your ears, it would be good.
Who do you think I do get to syringe my ears? A backstreet syringer.
This is what it sounds like. because the backstreet syringes take away all the protective gunk. Doctor wouldn't. Mm. So anyway, this time I found myself thinking, I wish I had got my ears syringed because it turned out I had to get them syringed out in France while I was on holiday in the end because I dived into the pool the first day and all the water immediately just stuck in my ears, right? Couldn't get it out in my right ear and I was banging my head and trying to get all the water. Nothing. It just stayed in there. I got gradually deafer and deafer in that ear over the next 2 days and then it started to become painful as well. So I went to the French doctor and my wife came along with me and she watched as he took a look in my ear. He was very upbeat. And he immediately went, oh, la la, as he looked in my ear, which is French for you've got a lot of gunk in there. Mm. And so he explained in French that I did have a blockage. Un blocage.
Le blocage.
Oh, c'est le blocage. And it was going to have to come out. And basically what had happened was that there was a certain amount of earwax. The water from the pool had got in there behind the earwax, built up, couldn't get out again, went bad, like a stagnant little pool inside my ear. So he said, I'm going to have to use the syringe. So he gets in there with the syringe, right?
Isn't it a lovely sensation?
It's pretty amazing. It feels very peculiar, very invasive indeed, but not painful. So he blasts my ear with warm water and my wife watched and he held like a little cup underneath and this gunk came out and my wife said, whoa, that was satisfying because this big lump of discolored gunk flopped out and suddenly I could hear again. It was amazing. But then there was another little bit caught in there. So he went in with the tweezers and that was really painful. I think maybe he pulled out part of my eardrum. Mm.
The brain.
Part of the
brain. I think the brain's popped out.
I'm not sure there was any left to pull out.
No, there was a little bit that was interested in pornography, and that bit came out.
that bit's definitely still in there. Okay. But it was a very peculiar sensation, but it cleared up my ears. It was fantastic. Mm. That is the very... Listen, that's the end.
Of what? Of everyone?
Of that part of my holiday ailments anecdote. Right. I mean, I've got a whole page full, right?
So should we sort of get round to the nub of the thing we're asking the listeners?
Yeah, what is it?
I mean, I'm not saying that in a loaded way. I'm just thinking it might give the listeners something to orient. I don't know. You're in charge.
Well, you shouldn't introduce nubs then.
To ask people what their disastrous holiday illnesses have been?
Yeah, I mean that was just a very roundabout anecdote to get you in there. It took longer to say the anecdote than I expected.
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Great to be back, listeners. We've missed you very badly. But we had a nice holiday, right? I mean, you had a good break, Joe.
Yeah, I had a very good break.
Did you manage to get away at all?
I did. I went away for 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
On the eighth day, what did you do?
Of holidays, my true love gave to me.
Wasn't there a Hazel O'Connor song called The Eighth Day?
There was one where she counted through the days, yeah. Oh, man. I got used to have that on 7-inch.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Anyway, I managed to go away to France. I had a lovely time. On the plane, after we'd stuck Vaseline up our noses to stop the germs getting in there, a baby started crying, and we were on a popular budget airline. And it's one of those things, there's a lot of families on those planes, you know, because if you travel with your family, you want to save money, obviously, so you go for the cheapest option possible a lot of the time. But it does result in a huge amount of screamosity on the actual plane when you get on there from the young children. And there's nothing you can do about this. And there should be an understanding amongst other passengers who don't have children that, you know, it's just one of those things that happen. But you can't stop yourself as a passenger yourself, if you're not with children, hating the parents of the screamy little children, right? And I've got children myself. I've got two young boys and I've got a baby daughter, right? She actually behaved pretty well on the flight out. On the way back, she was pretty screamy. So, but that didn't stop me being annoyed by other people's children when they cried. Check out a tiny clip of the baby we got going out, right?
Do not inflate your life jacket inside the cabin, and to do so would be before departure, we'd ask to ensure that your seatbelt is securely fastened, your tray table is upright in one position, arm rest down, and the deadline is fully open.
She was just warming up as well.
Oh, my God.
That was when we're still on the tarmac and the guy's giving the announcements. And that's when most of the children really get going with the screaming because they're annoyed and they don't understand why they've been on the tarmac for like 20 minutes while you get going. And anyway, there you go. That was one of the fun things about my holiday was the screaming. But as I said earlier in the show, I misunderstood. I thought we had to do Song Wars songs about our time on holiday, specifically getting back from holiday. In the end, we didn't both do them, but I did. I did a song about getting back from holiday.
Mm.
And as we don't have a Song Wars battle for you this week, I'm just going to play it anyway. And you can speculate as to whether it would have been trounced or not.
We could. Listen, I'm really happy to make mine about coming back from holiday if you want to hold on to your song for next week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're making extra work for yourself.
I know I am.
Because now you're going to have to do a whole new one for next week.
And I really killed myself this week getting it done as well.
I mean, are we going to do another one for next week, really? Is that what we're saying?
No, let's do one for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks?
Yeah, for tweaks.
Right. Okay.
How about that?
Well, that's very noble of you.
Yeah.
So you're just sort of casting this song into the void.
Yes, exactly.
But in a way, you've won.
Well,
because there's no competition.
It might be the only time that one song is defeated, even when there's
just
no
by silence.
Yeah. Because check out some of the singing I do on this one. Right. I take it to a whole new level. This is a song about coming back from holiday called "The Coming Back from Holiday Blues."
I'm on my summer holidays in France. Eat food, drink booze, I don't wear shoes, and very seldom pass. But in 3 days I have to travel home and watch my tan just fade away neath English skies of flinty grey. I've got the coming back from holiday blues, from my sun hat down to my flip-flop shoes. There's still 3 days of my holiday left, but the thought of going home is making me depressed. Each sunset now is flecked with tears, and the tears are dripping into my beers, and the beers are running out, and so are the days till I have to go back to my ordinary ways. Can't you leave me here, drinking cans of French beer, lying in the summer sun, having semi-nude fun? Why can't the bad times just be never, and the good times last forever?
winning the horrible mail, and I haven't paid the bills, and I'm going to jail, and the news that I missed is making me sad, and there's something in the fridge that smells very bad. Have to wait another year till I'm drinking Frenchy beer, lying in the summer sun, having semi-nude fun. 50 weeks of work is what we have to give for two of pleasure. It's Christmas time and I expect to soon, so everything's fine. Then I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. In the meantime, I can drink imported beer.
Yeah. That was, it was very moving, some of the falsetto singing.
I was really pushing myself.
Yeah, well, you got there.
Yeah.
You landed right where you wanted to land.
I think I might have pushed myself into some kind of hole.
That was good. That was very touching.
Thank you. I mean, do you get that, though? You start getting depressed about going home and you're only in the middle of the holiday?
You know what? I was really excited about coming home.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I just love being in my house.
That's the same as my sons.
Is it?
Yeah. About halfway through, they're like, when are we going home, Daddy?
Yeah. Well, I'd say something about me then. But I really wanted my toys.
Yeah, they really
did. I missed my toys so badly.
I said, why do you want to go home? It's nice out here. It's lovely and sunny. You've got a pool and everything. They're like, oh, I just want my toys and my teddies and stuff. Mm,
exactly. Teddies, exactly. It was particularly the teddies I wanted.
I saw you jotting down a couple of notes during that.
So I wasn't. I was drawing a matchbox. I shaded in the end and I've sort of suggested some matches in there.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best? It's Joe.
Some of you might know that the show has been rebranded Boggins. So that's how it will be described in the future. If you hear that word, don't be confused. It's the new name.
And we've got a logo as well.
It's a pan-European name, yeah. Right? Because the show was already called Boggins in Portugal, Luxembourg and Belgium. Mm-hmm. So it just saves us money in terms of printing the packaging and the promotional material to unify the branding across Europe.
Exactly.
Hence, we're now using Boggins in the UK as well.
And there's the two dots above the O, isn't there?
Boggins. Well, they've come off for Britain, but yeah, they will stay there. So if you go on holiday and hear the show, it'll have an umlaut.
What are the name? Is that an umlaut? The two dots.
Oh, well, maybe the umlaut's the curvy line. Umlaut, yeah, no, umlaut, two dots are umlaut, yeah.
It's an umlaut. My brother can tell you what the name in typing terms is of every single one of those things, right? Like a dot, dot, dot has a special name for it that isn't just dot, dot, dot. Mm. Do you know that at all?
No.
And he can tell you what, like, a straight, like a longer dash and a shorter dash is called.
Longer dash is a dash.
It's amazing, though. He, like, unveiled all this knowledge on
Did
holiday.
He?
And it's not a dash.
Are you sure?
Dave, if you're listening, will you text me all the names of those things that you know?
Because well, we don't want him just to text him. We want to quiz him.
Really?
David, if you're listening, come on the phone and we want to give you a... We want to quiz you.
All right, then. Yeah.
That would really test his knowledge.
That would be fun. Dave, I think, is on the line. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Hey, Dave, nice to speak to you.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Now, you're not going to do that thing, Dave, are you, that you sometimes do to me when you're on the phone with me and just go very quiet for long periods?
Good answer. Okay, so, Dave.
Yeah.
You're on live radio. Please don't swear.
Okay.
we're going to test you on the real names for some popular bits of, would you call them punctuation marks? Is that the collective term for these symbols we're referring to?
Maybe, or diacritics.
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 Thank you.
Bang. He's in there with diacritics.
Did you make that up?
No.
Is that real? So these are the things you get on the top line of your QWERTY keyboard, right? Above the numbers, mainly. Yeah? Was that a yes noise?
Some
yes.
of them.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Your quiz starts now. So the symbol commonly known as a hash sign, or a sharp sign, or a pound sign, it's also called. What is the actual technical name for that symbol? And we should just ask you, Dave, you don't have a Wikipedia page open in front of you, do you?
I've closed it.
But you have been looking at it to remind yourself.
Yeah, well, it turned out I was wrong about umlauts.
Oh, well, hang on, we'll get to umlauts. What is the hash sign properly known as?
I don't know, but hash or pound, that's what, or bang.
It's the Octothorpe.
Octothorpe.
You didn't know the octave thought. This is a special quiz that has special new noises. Is the one you get when
I'd
you get
something.
I've
forgotten that one. I did know that one.
Did you actually know that? Because
you did not know
you'd be
that.
Forgiven for not even vaguely knowing that, the octothorpe. Okay, here's a simpler one, David. Just ignore your brother. Childish behaviour from your older brother. Surprising. It's the sort of noise you'd get from the younger brother to the older, but going the other way this time. What would you call the sort of a hat? It's a sort of a... how would you describe that line? Just the top two bits of a triangle.
Chinaman's
above
hat.
A word. Yeah.
It's not a grav. It's... okay, now I feel thick.
Sick or thick. Both. It's a circumflex. That was an easy one.
You didn't know a circumflex. Dave.
What about a forward slash? What's that officially known as?
Solidus.
Yes, a solidus.
A solidus.
And what's a backslash known as?
Don't know.
Reverse solidus. That's good, man. You got the solidus. That's really good. Let's give you one more.
How about the dot, dot, dot? What's that known as? Because I've never heard that referred to as anything but a dot, dot, dot.
That's an ellipsis.
An ellipsis.
An ellipsis.
Of course. Okay, what about the little squiggly line? A tilde, or it's also known as a twiddle.
Oh,
it's sweet, isn't it? Little twiddle. And what about you mentioned earlier the grave accent, you know, an acute accent and a grave accent, often used in French. What's that officially known as?
A grave.
No, a back pop.
A back pop.
That's what it says here. I don't know.
Like a little
I think that might be describing something else, a back pop. In which case, what's a front pop?
And what about the two dots over the O, Dave?
That is a diuresis.
A diuresis.
Diuresis. A sloppy back pop. Listen, David, thank you very much for putting up with that.
At the end of that, you scored. How many did he score?
Well, about three, I think.
About three corrects and about four. So that's not a bad score.
The question remains, how would you draw that noise? Do that noise? What's the symbol for that noise, David? You can't say on radio, can you?
The which one?
His face.
His Adam's face.
Buckle
a
face.
Bearded smiley face.
Bucky face.
Thanks for joining us, David. Have a terrific Saturday.
And you.
Text the nation.
Six.
What if I don't want to?
Six.
Can I use an email? Is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. Text.
The topic this week specifically deals with holiday ailments, things that have happened to you and gone wrong on holiday.
Disastrous accidents on holiday.
I was talking about my ear being syringed there before. Another thing that tends to happen on holiday is teeth problems, right? And someone was telling me that this happens a lot of the time because you go on the plane and the high pressure sets off existing little niggles in your teeth.
Yes.
And then, so if you've already got a bit of oncoming badness in your toothal area, then the plane flight can actually expedite the whole situation. So a couple of
so
days into your
the
holiday.
The pool is a no-go area for you.
Yeah.
And also the plane.
And the plane.
And it's the, yeah.
Well, a plane is an absolute disaster area anyway because it's a big germ palace, right? Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
My wife was telling me that if you have to put Vaseline. She handed me this little pot of Vaseline.
I like the way you're reinforced in your life by people who reinforce these things. Yeah. You seem to be surrounded by people who reinforce
these. Check this out for reinforcement, right?
Yeah.
As soon as we took off this flight, and this has never happened before, she handed me this little pot of Vaseline and said, there you go, there's the Vaseline. Do you want to put some just in your nostrils? I said, what? And she said, oh, it stops germs getting in. Don't you know? I was like, no. Since when do you know that as well? She said, oh, my mum told me. I was like, your mum's read it in some mag, hasn't she? And now we have to put Vaseline up our nostrils to stop the germs getting in. I'm not doing that. She said, why not? She didn't read it in some mag. It's true. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows that. It stops the germs getting in. Well, I'm doing it and I'm not going to get ill. You're not doing it. You are going to get ill. So enjoy your illness on holiday.
I lubricate everything with Vaseline before I leave the house. I lubricate my thighs because they chaff. My nipples in case they rub on my T-shirt. My underarms in case they chaff. It's just like oiling a bike. You just Vaseline your body. And in case anyone wants access to any of your holes while you're at, instant access.
You're sliding around in your clothes. So you would do your...
And it prevents germs.
Sure it does. So you do a bit of Vaseline.
The germs can't cling on to the sides. They slide off.
All his orifices are covered in Vaseline. We cannot enter.
Of course, the winged germs. You can't. You don't prevent the ones that fly up the middle without touching the side. You actually need a tiny bit of gauze on the bottom of the nostrils. Listen, should we read out some listeners' ones, though?
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's one from Graham Talbot. He says, when I was 14 years old, I went on holiday to Portugal with my parents. I was very excited to be going to a hot European country. Until then, we'd always holidayed in England, and even at the tender age of 14, I knew that those holidays had mixed results. Anyway, when we got off the plane in Portugal, I stepped onto the steps down to the tarmac, and as I looked up into the bright sunshine, I lost my footing, I fell down the steps, I broke my wrist and my jaw. I now have a Portuguese screw in my face.
Oh, in my face. That's a good thing to say at parties.
Screw face.
I got a Portuguese screw in my face. What's your name?
Dear Adam and Joe, I suffered a similar holiday ailment to Adam last year whilst holidaying in France. I was happily playing in the surf at Biarritz, feeling fairly envious of the beach hunks and babes riding waves, but making the most of it, when I turned my head directly into the path of a hefty wave. It smacked me upside the head, knocked my contact lenses out, and perforated my eardrum.
Oh!
I had to wander up and down the beach, blind and deaf, calling out for my parents. I'm 27.
Perforated his eardrum? What kind of wave smack did he get?
These are public. We're doing a public service here, as we should, in the big British castle, because things can go wrong so fast.
I mean, waves are deadly on many levels. You can get easily tossed and smacked on, you know, coral and stuff like that. I've had that injury a number of times. That's what happens to Tom Hanks in Castaway. What?
James Matthew George Melling. Is that his name? James Matthew George Melling says, when I was on holiday in Malta as a child, my father sat on an old-fashioned wooden folding deck chair. It collapsed in the old-fashioned slapstick way, but it chopped off his finger.
Oh!
Not many people have lost a finger to a deck chair.
I would say that a few have, actually.
And not only when you're abroad do you have the terror of the agony, but then it's the mental anguish of how are you going to handle this? Do you have insurance? Where's the doctor? How are you going to get there? How are you going to explain what happened? It's a nightmare.
Well, the thing that happened to me, right, I started off talking about teeth problems, right? Mm. I was in Greece. And I got terrible toothache the second day into my holiday. I was only out there for like 4 days or something. And I was having the first day out there, best day of my life. I remember thinking to myself, this has been the best day of my life.
Where was this? Say it again.
Out in Corfu.
Oh, Corfu.
And then the second day, toothache starts in the morning. And it's that thing, it sort of comes on from 1 minute to the next. You think, oh, there's a little tooth niggle there. And then by the afternoon, it was agony. Had to go into town, right? And the only doctor there, I kid you not, when I approached the surgery, was standing on a balcony with a ciggy in one hand and a syringe in the other.
Mm.
So I go in to see this
probably
guy.
Probably some smack in the syringe.
I don't know. I could have done with it after a while, I tell you. I go in there. I'm really in pain and I'm really nervous now. And this guy, who was like a classic caricature of a dodgy doctor, with his ciggies poking out of his top pocket, unshaven, with a syringe there. I'm sure he was a perfectly good doctor, but I was still terrified. He takes one look at my mouth, and then the only phrase I could understand was root canal. So he was going to perform root canal on my tooth, which just felt like a normal toothache. I was in so much pain that I was in, and I didn't have any Greek, you know, skills, so I was in no position to argue. But I had a massive whitey, yeah? All my blood pressure just went AWOL, and I was just about to pass out, and I just said, I'm passing out, just as he was about to inject me. And so he went, oh, I'm not passing, okay. And he sort of pushed my legs up onto my chest. Do you know what I mean? Like he bent my legs back and pushed them onto my chest. That supposedly gets you over your whitey. And then he proceeded to give me root canal. And so it took me the rest of the holiday to get over the pain from that. When I got back to England
unnecessary
and saw my dentist, totally unnecessary. Yeah. My dentist said, who the hell did this? They butchered you. Guess how much it cost to fix what the guy
money.
Did? £2,000.
Yeah. Well,
right? To fix that. It was unbelievable. What are you saying? Yeah, well, for? Like I deserve it.
Because he spotted you coming a mile off.
He spotted me coming. He just did on this. He's just going, oh, I love root canal. Here we go.
Panasonic projector coming this way.
He didn't charge me £2,000.
New
the guy in England did.
Oh, did he? To fix it?
Yeah, to fix it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low. But now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
Funny thing happened to me, listeners, over the summer. I was doing some sort of ego surfing.
Weird.
And weird. And somehow I stumbled across, or maybe somebody sent us a letter or a note. And if so, I apologize, I can't remember who, that my name had turned up as a question on a television quiz show.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting business. And not just any television quiz show, but one of the biggest quiz shows on television.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
No. Wogan's Perfect Recall on Channel 4. If you haven't seen Wogan's Perfect Recall, then, you know, what are you doing? And also, it's extraordinary. It goes out sort of in the, what was that old show with the words called on Channel 4? Countdown.
Countdown.
Is that still on? I think it might go out before Countdown. Right. Or basically, I don't know because I just watched it on 4OD when I found out my name was in it.
Yeah.
Don't know anything else about it. But it's a peculiar show. It takes place in a weird studio where there's clearly no audience.
Yes.
But yet they've put the sound of one in.
It's not a quiz version of Total Recall.
No.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, it's not. That would be very good.
Yeah.
But this is a strange show. Whenever Terry Wogan, who hosts it, makes a joke, there's a lot of recorded laughter.
Uh-huh.
But it's clearly not real, and that gives it an atmosphere of sadness.
Say, you can't do that kind of thing in the, in the modern climate, like fake audience.
Exactly. It's weird that they're still doing that. Anyway, they do, I'm pretty sure there's no audience there. Who I mean, it's a big, it's the sound of like hundreds of people applauding. How could they possibly get hundreds of people in every day?
Well, that's
to
Wogan
watch
factor.
Wogan's Perfect Recall.
Easily.
Nah. Do you think?
Easily.
Nah. Anyway, so there are three contestants or four contestants standing looking quite sad behind podiums, then a big board behind them. And the premise of the quiz is you get asked questions, then you buzz if you know the answer, right? And then the answer goes on a sort of board.
All right, this sounds like a totally new kind of quiz show.
It is. All the answers go on a board behind the contestants. It is. And then they stay there, and then every other question asked during the quiz will have one of those answers as its answers.
Yeah.
So the researchers have got to come up with words which are the answers to three or four different questions.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
And that might be a reason why they stumbled upon me mm-hmm. and my surname.
Because there's many different types
of
Cornish.
Yeah, well, they probably, you know, came up with Cornish first, and then they had to think of the other permutations, and one of them probably said, "What about Joe Cornish from Adam and Joe?" Everyone else, who?
What?
Now, go on, it's quite popular. It's Six Music digital show. What? Anyway, somehow this question slipped through the net. And it was really surreal watching it. Very odd experience. But here's the audio from it. And notice a few things. Notice how quickly the contestants immediately know who I am mm-hmm. and are able to answer the question. And notice how Wogan clearly knows who I am and how this whole kind of clip cements the level of my fame.
Joe of TV's Adam and Joe show has which surname? Stick at it, Joe. They'll remember your name one of these days. Cornish.
Whoa. There you go. Then the name Cornish appeared on a little board behind them.
He was sufficiently moved to actually make a special encouraging comment. Sufficiently moved by the total bafflement of the contestants.
Complete silence.
And the contestants were around the age you would hope, you know, that they might actually know who you were.
50s.
You know what I mean? Either from the TV show that we used to do on Channel 4 or perhaps from this radio. No idea. They had no clue.
I didn't know whether to be excited or really humiliated.
No, both, I would think.
Yeah, I was both, exactly. I mean, it was exciting that Wogan said my name and that they thought I might be a legitimate quiz question, but then that's a pretty authoritative trouncing of any level of public awareness.
But you got some encouragement from Woggins.
I did. He said, keep, what did he say?
Stick at it, Joe.
Can
we hear it one more time?
Joe of TV's Adam and Joe show has which surname?
No idea.
Stick at it, Joe.
It's the noise.
They'll remember
I
your name one of these days.
Stick at it, Joe.
I have stuck at it for about 15 years.
They'll remember your name one of these days.
I don't like
that. The way he says it is like, there's no way in the world.
If you do some sort of killing, it's the mass murder that'll do it for you in the end, Joe.
You might make it onto the news one of these days. Stick at it, Joe. This is about it for your level of fame. As far as going down in the annals of history, have fun, because it's just happened.
Well, if you work on that show, I'd like to hear what your thinking was about, you know, putting that question on there. Presumably someone in the team of researchers listens to this program, right?
Presumably they would have got fired after that.
Oh, one would hope so.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no. This is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic.
Barney. Excuse me, Mr. Bowie.
Yes.
My name's Joe Cornish. I do a program on BBC Six Music called The Adam and Joe. Well, it's actually called Boggins now, but yes. It used to be known as The Adam and Joe Show.
Oh, yes, I've heard about it.
Have you?
Yeah, the kids are listening to it, yes.
It's quite popular with some young people, yeah.
I was out skateboarding last night with my son, Joe.
What boarding?
Skateboarding was.
Zagate.
Skateboarding. I was skateboarding last night, and then I did some tagging, and at the end of that, we listened to a bit of Boggins.
Well, that's amazing, Mr. Bowie, because, listen, my co-presenter, Adam Buxton, and I are really, really keen to maybe do an interview with you.
What?
We're terrific fans, especially of your career.
And my, what, the painting?
Yeah, you know, everything, your films and your music and painting and everything, video games.
Yes.
And we'd be really keen to fly to New York. And we'd come to you and we'd interview you and then we could make it like the Boggins Christmas special.
Joe, I'd absolutely love that. I think it's a great idea. If you guys can get yourself out to New York, it's called the Big Apple, that's what we call it, then I would be happy to grant you an interview. Not a very long one, because I'm a busy man. I've got tagging and skateboarding to do, and a couple of installation pieces later on. But I would be happy to sit down with half an hour and have a little informal chat about this and that and the other.
Well, brilliant. How so can we sound? Pop that in the diary?
Let's certainly arrange it. Let's absolutely arrange it. I'll tell you what. Have you seen my son's film yet? It deals with themes of otherness and individuality.
It's supposed to be very good.
It's supposed to be absolutely marvellous. Moon. You should go along and see that. Maybe we can all get together and have a big old chat and watch that and have some popcorn.
That, listeners, is a fantasy version of what Adam and I would very much like to happen.
That would be amazing.
James has been trying to get in contact with David Bowie's camp to try and set up an amazing The Boggins interview.
The B camp. I still haven't seen Moon yet. I really want to. I've only heard good things about Bowie's son's directorial debut.
But you know what? He's been very studious in not making those connections with his father.
That's true, isn't it?
And he's avoided mentioning it, I think, in all press in a very noble and admirable way. Despite the thematic connections between some of his father's famous work.
But he's not prickly about it. I've seen
no,
people
no,
mention
if
it.
People ask him, he's very happy to talk about it, but he's very much not exploiting that connection in any way.
Can't wait to see the film. And, if anyone listening is David Bowie, could they please get in touch? Because we'd get ourselves out to New York somehow. You wouldn't have to do anything. All you'd have to do, right, is meet us somewhere in Central Park or something. We'd buy you a hot dog, and it would take 10 minutes, literally, less even. If we could just get some evidence of the fact that we had met you and chatted to you, then we would be able to die, I think, afterwards, and we'd be fine.
Listen, as a piece of evidence, or, you know, that we could play now, an indication of what would happen if one of us were to meet an important, respected figure in rock who takes himself and his work seriously.
Yeah.
As an indication of what might happen when that individual was met by a sort of
idiotic
digital radio DJ. Do we have any kind of evidence of what might happen?
Funny you should say that. I bumped into Tom York from Radiohead at the Latitude Festival. He played an amazing solo show there. And I chatted to him for a few minutes backstage after he came off doing this show. And I was asking him about various names that he might employ if he were ever to tour solo. This is what happened. So, Tom, I've got some ideas for you that you might like to consider. Like, these are names you could use if you were touring solo, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay.
I want you to think about these and tell me how you feel about them. And you have to use one of them, right? You can't just listen to these and go, I've got to go. You have to use one of them.
Okay.
Because Tom York is fine and everything.
It's not
but
great, yeah. But
you need to jazz it up, is what I'm saying.
Mm. And you're the man for the job.
I'm the man for the job, right? Here we go. T-Hom. Yeah? Like T dot...
T-Homie.
Hom.
T-Homie.
H-O-M-M-E.
Oh, as in French.
Exactly. T-Hom.
That's kind of sophisticated.
It is kind of sophisticated, but also T-home. It's sort of street. T-Hom.
T-Homosexual?
Well, funny you should say that. One of the other ones I had was Tomosexual. With the TH.
Is that a specific type of sexuality?
Exactly. Yeah, it's unique.
Well, it would be.
It's uncategorizable. It's a special type of sexuality that you've created.
Mm, I have, yes. Well, don't we all?
Well, yeah. Exactly. What do you think of Tomosexual?
I could conceivably get in trouble with that.
I don't think so. I think people would like it.
Yeah?
How about this? The Tominator.
But so bad. Next.
Come on.
Come on, it's just...
All right. Tombola. That's the name for the show in general, because it would be like a pick and mix. People wouldn't know what they were going to get. You could maybe spin a wheel with songs on it and stuff. Yeah. Elvis Costello once did that.
He did do that, yeah. I that would be tricky because we won't have that many and it won't be like a lucky dip,
right.
Like a bad lucky dip.
T-Bot.
T-Bot? Yeah, T-Bot. But no one will understand what that is.
Man, you're
stretching
it too
far.
I really thought Tombola was far as I was going to need to go, and then you'd be saying, that's the one. Don't worry, it's going to be the Tombola show. Do you spell it T-H-O-M-B-O-L-A? Tombola.
Yeah.
It's a different spelling.
Okay. I mean, I do need a name, so I quite like... What have you got there?
T-Hom.
T-Hom.
Oh, well, I had Yorkie Fruit and Nut Bar, but then I wasn't reading that one out.
Yeah, I kind of like that one.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're so perverse. That was the only one I thought, maybe I can't read that
the Tomosexual.
Tomosexual, I thought
you might...
Yeah,
perverse Yorkie and Nut Bar. Fruit and Nut Bar. I can see that in Big Legs.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, great.
He wasn't sure about a lot of those.
Sorry, abrupt ending. What happened after that?
He had a big hug.
Probably.
Actually, you'll be able to see a slightly different, longer version of that on video. We're going to post it on the blog sometime this week.
Wow.
So check out the Adam and Joe blog if you would like to see that. Thanks very much indeed to Tom for talking to me, and indeed to Nigel Godrich, who was doing the camera work, as you will see when you watch the video. Couldn't hear that in the clip, obviously. But that's an indication of what might happen. Like, do you think Bowie would be similarly baffled?
I don't know. I think so, yeah. There'd probably be a similar air of excitement and...
mystification.
Iconoclasm.
Yeah.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Excuse me.
It's time to resolve Text the Nation, isn't it?
It is, but first of all, we should steer you listeners towards the Adam and Joe blog at bbc.co.uk/blogs. In fact, that's not a / is it? What did we say it was called? I've lost the piece of paper. We have to get Dave back on the phone. Yeah, /blogs/ Adam and Joe. And on there you will find Adam's Tom York interview. You might find Adam's song, maybe. Where you find the song?
Yeah, you
might even find the massage music as well eventually. So
all sorts of good things.
All sorts of excitements there. But now let's get on with resolving Text the Nation.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week, listeners. We're asking you about hideous accidents that have happened on your holiday. And here's one from Tom Richards in London. Are you ready for this, Adam?
Yeah, go on.
In my gap year, I was in Corfu. I ran up to dive into a pool, slipped on the edge, caught my toe in the grate, and ripped it nearly clean off before I dived
toe.
In. I got taken to the local hospital, and the doctor, who was also smoking in the operating room,
I love it.
Stitched up my toe, but managed to sew it back on sideways.
Shut up.
So now it's like working with Danny Dyer. So now I have a sideways little toe on my right foot.
Shut it, you Nancy.
It affected my balance for a little while, but now it just looks hilarious. That's a very philosophical view Tom is taking of his disfigurement.
He really is. I'd like to see a picture of that.
Can we see a picture of the toe, please, Tom?
I thought, because at one stage I thought maybe he was talking about the toenail. He actually ripped the toe off before jumping into the pool.
He's saying he's got a lateral toe, a sideways toe.
A sideways toe.
Which is pretty exciting.
Good would that be?
It's the kind of thing that a rock star needs, you know, like Bowie's odd eyes. Or, you know, the best of rock stars are actually so talented they're slightly physically odd.
That's right.
Look at my
sideways toe.
So, Tom Richards, you should have a career there in something or other.
Sideways.
That's nice of me to say, isn't it?
That is really nice.
Here's one from Arnold. Sup, Adam and Joe. My holiday disaster. I was 13, playing golf with my granddad, who was 80-something in Portugal. He let me drive the golf buggy. Technically, I wasn't allowed to, but I kept pestering him, and he finally gave in and let me drive it.
Irresponsible.
The course was very hilly, hence the need for a buggy, and I hadn't even got 10 metres when all of a sudden I managed to curb the buggy and the whole thing rolled over.
No.
Throwing my granddad out and trapping him.
He rolled the golf buggy.
He was flipping out. I'd broken my granddad's leg. I couldn't lift the buggy off him. He was trapped for about half an hour before help came. I was in so much trouble.
Holy goodness.
He died in February this year. Totally unrelated.
I was going to say.
Sort of. His leg was never the same since the accident.
Why
10
did
years
you
ago.
Read that out? That's one of the most tragic stories I've ever heard.
Because Arnold wrote it. I'm crying, not laughing. Best Arnold.
He rolled a golf ball.
P.S. I so badly want a Stephen t-shirt. Where can I get one? The fan site has them, but I prefer the ones you had for Glasto.
That's all it's about, mainly. It's getting a Stephen t-shirt. He crushed his granddad with a golf buggy.
He killed his granddad.
More or less, he killed him. Didn't he? I mean, that's more extreme than I was expecting for this text.
Well,
the Nation.
It's a new Boggins. It's the focus group says that Text the Nation has to climax.
Yeah.
Has to reach an amazing climax now. We have to pace it.
Well, death is always going to be the ultimate climax, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Job done.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
I went on holiday to Spain, and me and my lady partner, we booked a couple of nights in a very posh spa hotel.
Ooh.
We thought we'd go posh at the beginning and then go a bit cheaper for the main body of the holiday.
That's strange. I would do it the other way around.
Well, we ended up spending the whole holiday in the spa. Yeah, because yeah. we didn't like the other place. Anyway, so when we first got there, we decided to book ourselves some treatments. Have you ever had that kind of thing?
Yes, I have.
Have you been to a spa and
I
had
have.
A treatment?
Yes, on my honeymoon.
Have you had a massage?
Yeah, and it really takes it out of you.
Have you had
it?
An elaborate massage?
Certainly I have.
Like you know, exotic orange aromas
oh,
of
yeah.
the Himalayas.
Had the whole thing.
Thing.
I mean, it was everything but sensual. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, listen, let me talk you through my massage.
Certainly.
I was very excited. And I find, my problem is I find massage, whoever does it, slightly erotic.
Of course.
Even a sort of grisly old football manager massaging David Beckham's shin.
Your sports injuries.
I would imagine there was a sexy frisson.
Sure.
An unavoidable sexy frisson.
Human contact.
So that's the first thing that gets me anxious before the massage, which is supposed to be a very relaxing thing. That's the whole point.
And it's not something you do very often, presumably.
No, one does it as a special treat.
Special
poo-poo.
Treat. Poo-poo.
So I thought, I'm going to be so relaxed. This is when I finish this massage, I'm going to be more relaxed than any man has ever been.
Was your lady partner having the massage at the same time in the same room?
She had hers before.
But in a different room, right?
In the same room.
In the same room. But
yeah,
you weren't
there was
there
only
together.
One massage. It's very boutique, this place, oh. Adam. It's one massage room. It was cleaned between massages. Anyway, I thought, after this massage, I'm going to be so relaxed, I'll be unable to walk.
Sure.
But weirdly, the massage made me very tense. For the following reasons. Reason one was the erotic nature of the massage. And I knew I was going to expose my naked body to this woman.
Oh, totally
in a
naked.
Way that, well, it wasn't naked, but... So I go into this little room, and the following sort of music is playing in the background. This isn't the real music, but I've attempted to recreate the sort of music in the massage room.
Nice and new agey.
Thank you. Can you hear the Amazonian...
Sure, the birds. And... Oh, there's chanting.
Yeah, that was what was going on.
Was that you chanting there?
No, well, that's me, but I'm just trying to capture the
I love music
actual
like
chanting that
I
was going
I genuinely do.
So I go into this room, this music's playing, this very lovely woman with black curly hair, all wearing sort of floppy black clothing. She's got limited English, so she says, "Hello, sit. Please take off clothes."
Oh.
I go, okay, so I take off my clothes modestly, and she exits for
Not
that.
Not all clothes!
But she leaves me a tiny, tiny plastic bag.
Ah.
Very small, what one might call a dime bag.
Right.
With some sort of article of clothing in it. So she leaves the room, I unwrap the article of clothing, and it's the smallest little paper thong you've ever set your eyes upon.
A thong.
So I slip on this tiny thong, completely naked
towel.
Now, with a little piece of string going between my buttocks,
yeah.
and a tiny little bag for my bits and bobbins at the front. And I put this thing on, and I feel very exposed. I think the woman can't come back into the room and see me like this.
No.
So I wrap a towel around myself.
Sure.
She comes back in. She says, "Take off towel."
Ooh.
I take off the towel, reveal my tiny little man packet.
Yeah.
That's not in a state of interest. You might have to loop the massage music, James. So I'm feeling a bit compromised because of that, you
she
know.
She starts giggling.
She's repressed a smile. And I lay on the bed, and my massage involved being covered in oils and then rubbed with salt.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, it was like a chicken being prepared.
Wow.
And then she put some sort of herbal sauce on me.
Coriander.
And she was being very invasive. Mm-hmm. Well, not that. She was being very uninvasive with the thumbs. But they did get very, very close to certain areas.
To special places.
And it was oily. So if she'd slipped, that thumb would have gone right up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was within seconds of happening.
Well, she's a professional. She's
Does
not going to let
sort of
that
thing
happen.
Happen to you?
Not on a regular basis.
It's never, no.
But it did. I mean, I know what you mean. The massage I had, I mean, it was
It's
extreme.
An inch away from danger at yeah. all points.
But listen, how did you feel afterwards?
Well, there was. Let me just get to a moment in the middle. I was lying on this bed. I was lying on a sheet of plastic covered in oil and salt and herbs.
Coriander, yeah.
And then she wraps me up in this plastic because that's part of the... you know, treatment.
She pops you in the oven.
And she says, I leave for 10 minutes. You lie, relax. So I left. She left the room and I was lying there wrapped in plastic, covered in all these things, listening to the massage music. I just fade up the massage music for a bit to try and recreate that moment. And for about a minute, I felt really relaxed.
Yeah.
But then I started to feel like an idiot. Like this was the stupidest thing to be doing. Lying wrapped in plastic in a tiny little room, completely on my own, listening to, like, insane...
Good music. I like
good music.
Yeah.
To good Amazonian chanting.
Sure it is.
That's the end of the story. She came back in. I unpeeled my plastic. I had a shower, washed it all off. And I sort of felt weirder and more tense than I did when I went in.
Yeah, did you? Because the thing that can happen with a massage, like a really amazing massage, is that afterwards you feel totally drained and it brings like a lot of toxins out of you. I don't know what exactly it does to you, but you feel much worse than you did before you went in, like for a day.
I'll tell you the other thing she did.
Yeah.
Is she massaged my face.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know what expression to have on my face.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because my eyes are closed and hers are open.
Yeah.
I wanted her to think I was really relaxed. So I tried to look as relaxed as possible. Then she starts massaging my face in such a way that it opens my mouth. Like that. So I'm making silly little noises. While she's massaging my face. Anyway, this whole very serious ritual to me was just like a comic assault course.
That's the other thing that can happen is you can get the giggles. Our friend Garth was telling me about when he got a massage. And he just started laughing hysterically. And he couldn't stop. Like, every single touch, he was just howling with laughter. And they weren't able to administer the proper massage in the end because he was incapacitated by chuckles.
It hurt me quite badly as well.
Yeah.
Her thumbs were really causing me pain. And I didn't want to say anything because I thought it would be unmanly.
Mm-hmm. It was unmanly for you to go and get the massage in the
In the first place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was expensive as well.
I bet. That was nice. It was relaxing just hearing the story.
Thanks.
And hearing the music.
Yeah, we might put my massage music up on the blog as well. And then if you want to do an erotic massage with your partner, you will have some inauthentic Amazonian rainforest chanting.
Send us the video. Do you mind if I just do a little massage on you during this
Not
next
at all.
Song?
Can
this
you,
is Passion
can you,
Pit.
Can you do the balls?
Of your feet?
Yes.
Yes, certainly.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
There we go. That's it for this week's podcast, very nearly, listeners. But before we go, we've got a special request, a favour we want to ask all our listeners. We're going to do a Song Wars again in a couple of weeks, but we'd like you guys to provide a theme, some stipulations for the Song Wars. And we'd like you to do this by going to our blog, which is at bbc.co.uk/blogs/Adam and Joe, and leave us a little message there suggesting what theme we should use for Song Wars. You could give us a theme. You could give us an idea for what lyrics we would use.
Instructions.
Where we might source the lyrics. You could give us a style of music. You could prescribe a particular instrument or noise or some sort of, you know, and the more instructions we can get, the better.
Now, we have done this before. We have asked listeners for Song Wars themes before. And
the ideas are always good.
They're always good, but we end up failing to actually do the song.
Well, we've never had the blog before.
Right.
And the blog crystallizes the whole thing. It means suggestions can be read by other listeners.
Mm.
And, you know, there can be a whole kind of discussion on the blog of you can put what you think of other people's suggestions there and we can get a kind of consensus.
Can I just say, miss, that one suggestion that has been suggested many times, which you can actually omit, is that we write songs about each other.
Mm, we don't like to do that.
Someone always suggests that we write a song about each other. That's too icky for us.
It's too icky. Plus, we repress certain feelings of both affection and anger.
That we don't want to deal
that
with.
That we don't want to, unearth. Yeah. Because the suppression of those feelings keeps the show ticking
it's
over.
It's taken us 10 years to effectively suppress those things.
Yeah,
so why would we want to bring them out in song form?
I mean, you'd be... Maybe we'll do that. If we stop the show, we'll maybe do that in the last week. And
yeah.
Get furious with each other. And also
when things
emotional.
Get really litigious.
And be having sex and killing each other simultaneously.
That would be a good way to actually
to end
conduct
the show.
Litigation, don't you think, in song form, like a musical? It
yes.
would be like a musical version of L.A. Law. You know, they did the musical version of kind of that police show. What was it called? With the
cops.
Singing cops? Oh, I wish I could remember what
it was called.
It was called
Cops, no, it wasn't it?
It was called Sing Cops or something like that. Oh. Song Cops, or I can't remember. This is good, isn't it? This is our usual level of informative waffle.
Still got it.
We still got it.
Still got it.
I'm so glad you tuned back in, listeners. Thank you for sticking with us. It's really nice to be back. Have a fantastic week, and we'll be back with you the same time next week from 9 till noon on 6 Music.
Bye-bye.
Love you, bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.
Hey, listeners, Adam Buckley's Buxton here. I was just on my way out of the building following Joe. He's already left now. When I suddenly remembered the name of the show, the musical show with cops in it. It was called Cop Rock. And it was Stephen Bochco, I think, did it. And he did... Now I'm not going to be able to remember the name of the other famous show. What was it that he did? He did the famous one, Hill Street Blues, I think. I think he did Hill Street Blues. Cop Rock. You should check it out on the internet. I think there's clips on YouTube. It's un-be-flipping-leavable. This show actually went out. Didn't last very long. It was one of the TV industry's great insane failures. A musical cop show. It was supposed to be serious. Like, it wasn't a comedy thing. Anyway, check it out. Thought I'd pop back in just to remind you of that. And also take this opportunity, while Joe's not here, to self-aggrandise myself. Did you know that I'm a very interesting man? I'm intelligent and taller than you might think. It's only because Joe is freakishly elongated thanks to the stilts he wears that he appears much taller than I. In fact, the reverse is true. I am far taller than he and very, very good-looking and more talented and much better connected. I'm working with a lot of exciting people. You may have read rumours about who Joe's working with. Yeah, fine, but the people I'm working with are much cooler than that, but they're so cool that you might not even know about them because they run Tings. They run the Ting Tings. I'm working with the Ting Tings. That's actually not true. Listen, I better go before I overheat. Take care. Have a good week. Bye.